This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Hello, I'm Raleigh Malik, Senior Scientist with DIA, and I'm joined today by June Wasser, who serves as the Executive Director of the Reagan-Udall Foundation for the FDA, and who chaired the DIA 2018 Global Annual Meeting session titled iMeds, a Collaboration Based on FDA's Sentinel Initiative. So thank you so much for joining us, June.
Well, thank you. It's been a great meeting.
No, really. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I want to just ask you a couple questions. Specifically, can you tell us a little bit what are some of the topics that you had discussed during your session today?
Yes, iMeds is still a relatively new program to most companies, so we want very much to kind of spread the word about what we're doing. And this was a panel discussion. It included all the major stakeholders in our program. The foundation facilitates iMeds. And it's based on FDA's Sentinel system, which is more familiar, I think, with this kind of group. So we had a representative from our Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute, who is our analytics center. And one of our speakers was from Aetna, one of our data partners. And then one of the first studies we just completed, we had our PI from Eli Lilly and Company talk about her use case. So we talked about the different roles of all of us on the project and the study team. And, you know, it's very much team science-based, I think, is a great way to say it. So they shared their experiences pretty much on what it was like to do an ACE study and kind of what typifies how we go through the different steps of a study, including accessing the data and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. So is there some challenges related to public-private partnerships? Was that discussed during the session as well? Or,
you know, we didn't really discuss challenges to it. I think, you know, iMed certainly is a public-private partnership. We, as a foundation, we care a lot about transparency, so we talked about that. And all of our partners are committed to it as well. And our PI from Eli Lilly said that herself, yeah. That was one of the motivating factors, that, you know, their results were in the end going to be transparent and available to others. We didn't really talk about limitations, I think, of public-private partnerships this time. We talked about the benefits.
So that's really nice to hear, that there's more about the opportunities that can be there. I think sometimes we get kind of bogged down in what are the problems and how things don't work instead of focusing on how they can work. So that's wonderful. So what are some of the characteristics that distinguish the iMeds database from other safety study databases?
Well, the iMeds database is a distributed database. So that means the insurers who hold the claims data, that's the other factor, it's based on claims data. The data doesn't move, it stays local. And Harvard Pilgrim, as the analytics center, sends out query packages, and they're run locally. And the results are sent back to Harvard Pilgrim and quality checked, and everything is aggregated before it's sent back to the foundation and passed on to a sponsor. So the process kind of mirrors Sentinel a bit, but what distinguishes it from other places is the fact, I think, that, as I mentioned, I keep mentioning team science, that this is a study group that includes the sponsors as well as experts who know and understand and use the data regularly. And it's a very large database, so the companies who come to utilize iMeds usually are coming to look for a large population size that may be difficult to find in another database. Also, the methods and tools used in iMeds and Sentinel make them reproducible. So if a company were to perform a study in iMeds and FDA were to perform the exact same study, the results are going to be the same. They're not going to change. And that is some comfort to most researchers.
So then if there were two or three main messages from the session that you hope attendees took away, what would those be?
I'll echo what our industry partners say to us, and that is the robustness of the database, the fact that you can find hard-to-reach populations in the database, and the fact that it is team science-based.
So when you say the team science, and again, it's just multi-stakeholder, are there any other characteristics around that that you think that are important for people to consider when they're taking that type of approach?
I have heard it's very much of a learning process for these epidemiologists who work on the study teams who, you know, come from industry. They're certainly very experienced in what they do, but they've not exactly used a database like this and in this way. Mm-hmm. So when they walk away, they don't walk away with just a report. Mm-hmm. They walk away with new knowledge.
So So then in terms of other projects that the Reagan-Udall Foundation is working on, can you share with us what some of those are or some of your hopes for the rest of 2018, maybe even 2019?
Oh, I'd love to. So last year we debuted an expanded access navigator. The FDA had asked us to pull together stakeholders who work in expanded access or otherwise known as compassionate use. So we talked to companies, patient groups, FDA, IRBs, and so on. And the navigator is to serve educational purposes. It serves physicians and patients to teach them about what their options are to get investigational drugs, starting with the gold standard of a clinical trial, and working their way through. And if there is no option left, another way to get an expanded an investigational drug is making a request for expanded access. So then we walk people through the process and we have centralized resources. So the FDA's request form is there and talk about informed consent and things like that, how to contact an IRB. We're also going to be adding soon some pages to guide small companies on how to develop their own policies, who haven't done this before perhaps. And a unique feature of the Navigator is a company directory. So we invite and encourage companies to put their expanded access policies in the directory, their contact information, their turnaround time to respond to a request. And we're also encouraging them that in the future, it would be great if they could, you know, actually list the drugs and diseases to make it easier for physicians and patients who are searching. But the idea was to centralize resources so that people don't have to go visit 50 different websites. And I think another reason companies are willing to participate in a directory, with the passing of 21st century cures, the elements that we're asking for are actually required to be public elements. And it's great that companies can put them on their website, but this helps them, gives them another way of being very transparent.
Yeah. And exactly, like you said, it's a centralized place, and so you can kind of take the step back and look across and look what your options are. So are those resources available now, or it's kind of being slowly built? What is there a timeline around the expanded access navigator?
It's available now at navigator.reaganudall.org. We are continually trying to update the site. Originally, the stakeholder group focused on oncology, and when the new commissioner came on board, he asked right away, what about rare diseases? So we pulled rare disease stakeholders together, got their feedback on what was needed specific for their populations. We're collaborating with many of those groups like NORD and many of the, you know, industry companies. So new resources will be continually added based on the feedback that we get. But I'm also excited because as an organization and our board, you know, are very dedicated to patients. Yeah. And we are thinking of ways for the rest of this year and into next year that we can work with FDA and industry and the other stakeholders on where we might now look at the process. So the Navigator was about education. Right. Is there anything we can do as a collaborative to make the process a bit easier for those users who have to enter the system? And I think there are many touch points these days where companies and FDA are very willing to have that discussion. I can't say today, you know, where that might go, but I can tell you next year.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like a DIA 2019 session right there. But along those lines, I mean, I think it supports nicely FDA's focus on the patient-focused drug development initiatives. And being the foundation for the FDA, I think it's very appropriate that you help support that initiative. And I'm excited to kind of watch what comes out of that. And it's great to hear that you're listening to the patients, too, and the groups such as NORD, but then also some of the other areas in the rare disease space. So I think it's a really good direction. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about your foundation or today at DIA? I mean, we're always excited to hear what our collaborators are doing. So
no, I appreciate that. A lot of people weren't aware that FDA had a foundation. The NIH has one. CDC has one. We're the youngest. We were created by Congress, actually, in 2007 to help FDA advance their mission of regulatory science and better public health. So any topic that FDA would like help with in terms of the foundation being able to build a bridge with other stakeholders, right, and to solicit input that is desperately needed at FDA, those are ripe topics for us. And I think one of the things we're going to be looking at is not only continuing to build programs like we have with iMeds and the Navigator, but maybe do more public convenings to help help the conversation on these topics like expanded access move along. And I know the commissioner has a very robust agenda, and there are many topics that we've tossed about doing for next year. So we're very excited about, you know, where FDA is going and where we can help. And building all these partnerships has been a great experience. And they're leveraged in many different ways, not only for one program, but for another.
Well, thank you so much, June. I think this has been really informative for us. And we're so excited that you're here at DIA. And like I said, it sounds like we already have a 2019 session coming out of your foundation for next year. So I look forward to that. And again, thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for a great meeting.
Thank you.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.